Igor, this is your baby.
Let's rock and roll.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. Frank had this idea. The idea was, as maybe you guys don't know, but I have a background on business here in Brazil. So I had my own business. I have been doing consulting with a lot of companies throughout my 20s. So now I am 31 years old. And one of the things I most noticed in my career was that the main problem of the organizations usually were related to communication. So the company, I will give you an example. So one company has a great product, has good people on the team, but they can't figure out how to solve some problem or how to improve the operations because people don't know how to communicate. And this reminds me of a very cool concept called Dunbar's numbers. The first time I read about Dunbar's numbers was in a book called Sapiens, A Brief History of Humanity. It's a very good book. As Frank say, if I don't recommend a book, something's wrong. So check. But it's a concept from an anthropologist. I don't know when he came up with this number. But the cool part is, human beings are not designed to get along in big communities. So Dunbar's, which was a very influential anthropologist, he started to do research in native tribes, native groups of people that are still alive. And he came up with a number. The number was 150. So Dunbar's said that we human beings are very good on communicating and contributing to each one until we have a community of 150. After that, we start to get lost because throughout our history as a species, we didn't have to deal with a lot of people because we are very, very small groups. We would to travel every time and we wouldn't have time to build big cities, big communities. So we didn't have to learn to do that as a species. So until the last century. So in the last century, with the Industrial Revolution, we had to move to cities. We had to move to our works. And this made a lot of complexity in our life. And we started to get lost on how we could get along a lot of other people. And in communication, now Dunbar said that. Now it's Igor saying my theory. So it go like, the fact that we don't know as a species to get along a lot of people over 150, it's very clear to me that cause a lot of problem in communication. Because if you think about when you need to communicate with your peers, with your family, with your friend, you don't have to worry about efficiency. You don't have a big concern because they know you, you know them, you know what you can say. How they gonna understand, how they gonna react, you know that. But when you have to communicate with people that are not very close to you, but you have to communicate for professional matters, there is a lot of problems. So one concept I started to study a lot through the last, I would say the past 3 or 4 years is we call it asynchronous communication. I can write later because it's a kind of scary word. But the concept is, so let's imagine you need to talk to someone in your work and you need a report. So how we try to communicate with our colleague the same way we would communicate with a family member. So we would ask, how are you? Are you okay? Good morning. So you would like chit chat for a bit and then you would ask what you need. So in the asynchronous communication, what we do, we go direct to the point. So we say, I need a report from about this project from that date to this date. And this make a lot of the communication more efficient. So when I talk about one example, so if we have two people, one is asking the report to another one, it seems quite quite indifferent. Seems indifferent if I say good morning, how are you, or if I go and ask directly what I need. But imagining this in a context where people are working remotely and are talking with a lot of people at the same time. So I know Sebastian is work with sales. So imagine Sebastian, he has to talk with a lot of customers, and he has to talk probably with his company, his colleagues, maybe companies which sell to him. I forgot the word, but it's like when you have to buy something from some company. In Portuguese, it's clear to me, but English, I can't find the word for that.
I think it's a distributor that you're talking to.
Yes, 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 distributor or any kind of service provider. There's a lot of complexity. And one example I did on my LinkedIn post, and which I think brought attention to Frank, is like when you wake up and you need a report. So if you don't ask directly, if you say hi, how are you, and you wait me to answer back, maybe you answer just a couple hours later, and then you're gonna ask, and you have the report like in the lunchtime. As if in the other scenario, if you would ask directly, you would have the report very soon. So all this talk is to say that in the professional ecosystem, you don't need to communicate the same way which you communicate in person with your family and your friends. This is a concept that I have been experiencing a lot in my company before I sold it. Which has a kind of a rule of thumb that we had to focus on efficient communication. And one problem that, not a problem, but something that people got surprised, when a new employee came in, they would say, oh, but I don't want to seem rude. I want to ask how are you, because I don't want to seem rude. I want to do this chit chat before. So saying that, I would like to ask you guys, what are your opinion about that? Do you think, like in the professional ecosystem, if some colleague come to you and don't ask how are you, and just go straight and ask what they need, do you think it's rude?
So this is how do you work in your company in the past?
Yes. Yes.
Sure. Really?
Yes.
Okay, sounds really crazy to me. I like direct communication, but this is a little bit too much for me. But this is my opinion. I never checked it out. So, but I think for a human being, it is important to just have a small talk or communicate how's life and so on. It's a part of a communication. So I don't know what the other guys are thinking. This is my opinion.
Ismar, what do you think?
Igor, I'm sorry. I consider your lecture very good. But you know, I have read the book, and I remember the mention about the small community of till 150 people. After that, we don't have control anymore. And I really agree with that. After that point, that my reading, I have reflected about, and I think it's quite true. In fact, I think I can manage much less than 150. Communication is very important. As you know, we make part as a Toastmaster club, and we can observe every day. Then you can practice and observe this skill more and more in all moments of our life, not only professional, but social or in our scholar environment. I think I totally agree with the importance of communication, and not only oral, but written as well.
And do you think that, let's imagine is you are working with some company and someone send you a message, like a WhatsApp message, asking, Ismar, can you please send me the report? Like the person don't say, hi, good morning, how are you, before asking that. Do you think this is rude?
I really consider it rude. I think it makes part of our everyday life.
Thank you.
And of course, it's necessary to have a please. Yeah?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And if necessary, put the constructions in the conditional. Would you help me, sir? Yeah, or lady?
Cool. And what about you, Julia? What do you think?
I think what you describe, it sounds really effective. Efficient. But I think to feel comfortable in the place you work and to have a connection to your colleagues, I think it's important, and it could improve your work too. So I think I would rather write, hello, how are you?
Cool.
But I mean, if you were successful with your company, it kind of shows that you're right with the
asynchronous.
Yes. So this is a good point. So I asked this on purpose because usually this is the first reaction. So I would compliment, and I asked on purpose before saying that. Usually when we do something like I did in my company, and today I advise many companies doing the same, like we have to, it has to be a consensus. So when you are proposing that to your teammates, like everyone must feel comfortable with that. So that's the first thing. And also like you have to make sure this is something that is in fit with the culture of the company. So what I do usually, like I do a brainstorming and I try to give examples and show people how you can be more efficient on your communication without being rude. So I will say, for example, asking people how they are. So I will give a very clear example. Let's say I need a report and I need a report, and I will ask Sebastian, and I say, hello, Sebastian. Good morning. How are you? Can you please send me the report?
No. First, you have to ask me how was the weekend and so on.
How are the kids? So this is a very important point. So because I don't believe, like I have although I'm not an engineer by academic means, I consider myself as an engineer mind. So I'm always thinking systems and things like that. But I'm not the kind of person who thinks like efficiency trumps over people. I think people are way more important. So when you are talking about communication, you are talking about people. And I like to make it clear that it has to be part of the culture, and people must be comfortable to doing that. And especially, like, there is no penalty. Like, I'm not saying that, like, in my company, people who wouldn't do that, they wouldn't be punished for it. They would just see that wasn't very efficient, especially when you have a lot of clients, a lot of meetings, and you need things as fast as possible. I would like to point that communication is, and this is not me saying, there are a lot of theories about that, is something we take for granted. Like, seems like it's, do you know, like kind of subjects like politics, I would say religion also, that we feel like we already know, we don't need to study about that, those things. I think communications is one of those, like no one thinks that you have to study communication. Because of course I learned to speak as a child. I know how to communicate. People can understand me. Why do I need to study? And when you escalate that to the corporate level and you have to be efficient, can be a problem. So I just would like to add that.
That's interesting, Igor, that you have a mathematics or engineering mind and you are worried about this subject, because it's not usual for people who are connected to hard science to think about writing literature or some kind of, I would say, soft skills. And I suppose that you all have heard about assertive communication and no violent communication. And I think it's important to think about that. But I have a question for you. I suppose that if we have a small team, for example, till 20 people, I think it's not necessary because we can reunite all people and give some recommendation on how to treat and how to communicate with one another. But for a big company or even a medium-sized company, I suppose it's a question, okay? Is it necessary to make a process to increase, to improve, enhance communication code in the corporation?
Yes, first of all, you are right. So when the group is small, you don't have to worry about that. That's the theory behind the Dunbar's number. When you know someone, know how they are going to react, it's not a huge problem. But I like to create process as soon as possible, just for one very important reason. It's very hard to change a culture. So if you start some company as like with 1, 2, 3 person, you can go along with 20, 25 people very easily without a process, not only in communication, but on anything. Like, and this is, I can tell because I made these mistakes that, oh, we don't need to think in this process right now. I'll give a very clear example. I always thought I didn't need to record like details of projects because my thought was, oh, I can't trust the people. So I don't need to micromanage people. But when the company starts growing, it was very hard to change the culture of the people. So they were used to not documenting anything, just try and trusting on their memories, on their guts, but to change that was almost impossible. In this case, it's the same. So you don't need, but if you have a company and you are planning to scale it and you want to have a big company, a big team, I recommend to start as soon as possible because you will not have to change the culture of the people when you are with 20, 25 people.
I'm going to go back 3 steps here because I have the proof. And the proof is here on my smartphone, because on the 11th of October, I received a message, and I'm going to read the message. Hello, Frank. My name is Igor. ISMA gave me your contact because I am interested in the breeder community. There was no, how are you? And there was no small talk. there was no fluff in this message. It was direct to the point. And the secret weapon was that ISMA recommended Igor to me. The second message is, I will send an audio so you can check my English level. Okay. And then there is a smiley. How did I react? Hello, Igor. Pleased to meet you. So I put in a certain minimum courtesy. Sure. Let's hear you. And then comes the audio file. And then I send something back. And then the interesting thing is that I see Igor as a potential client and then I sent him, hello, Igor, here's the brochure. I hope the Portuguese isn't too bad because I translated the brochure into Portuguese. If you have time, you could join our meeting called the Tuesday Get Together. Normally, I host a group of people, ISMA, a person called Lisa in Manaus, Sebastian in Germany, Julian Mannheim, and possibly Levant in Turkey. And then we have, since the 11th of October, quite a lot of messages floating between Igor and myself. The last one was, yesterday I sent the introduction to today's meeting and it gets really short. There's no like, hello, Frank, how are you? Blah, blah. It says, sounds good. I will be prepared and it will be fun. So he's promised us fun tonight. So whether you have a
shit.
and then the last thing was that I sent out the copy, the October copy of situations to him and to everybody else. There is one thing that differentiates us a little bit is that I took the time to research ego. I went to Google, I went to LinkedIn, and all of a sudden I figured out who this person really is. Yeah, and it was an extremely interesting journey. And as I got to know the person, and he and I built a relationship, and if you listen to the Seeking Opportunity podcasts 1 and 2 that we both created, we've had some pretty intense discussions. And there is actually an interesting working relationship between the two of us where somehow it doesn't fit in to have all of this polite, fluffy talk. It just doesn't feel natural in this particular case because, and I possibly can't explain why this is, but I suppose somehow this small chit-chat, small talk that people engage with, and it is important, and I don't think, Igor, you can discount it completely, but I think that it somehow just weaves into the conversation, and the intensity of the contact and the amount of contact probably enhances all of this. And we also have to listen, yeah, because at some last week, or was it 2 weeks ago, we were talking about, Igor said last week, he went out and took his girlfriend's dog for a walk. And it's these little hidden messages that enhance the picture of a person. So my question back to you, Igor, is do we need a process of effective communication, and that is direct but still polite, or do we actually need to listen to the other person so that when we have a little bit of more meaningful conversation and that we do exchange a little bit more information, we are so involved in our own tasks that we don't actually listen to the little hints that come through? That would be my question. Is the problem that we don't listen or that we don't communicate?
I think it's a really good question. I'm not saying that just to have time to answer. I really think it's a good question because there's a fallacy called, I think it's dichotomy fallacy, something like that, which says that sometimes you can choose all the options, right? So like, do you want to be happy or do you want to be rich? Julia, do you want to be happy or do you want to be rich?
I want to be happy.
So here's the fallacy. You can say I can be both. I didn't say you have to choose one. This is the fallacy, right? So,
okay.
So my answer to Frankie is you can do both. Like you can be direct and efficient when you need to be, which is most of the part when you are working, right? But you also can listen to people. You can be empathic when you have to be. So I'm not saying like, and it's hard to understand when you are not, you didn't live that. I realize that it's difficult, but like, it's not like, oh, some friend, some colleague in my work say, Igor, I'm feeling tired today. I didn't have a good weekend. I got in an argument with my wife, and I will not say, oh, it's not efficient. I don't want to talk about that. Like I will listen, of course, but, so you don't have to be one or another. You can be both. The thing is when you want to be, you need to have work done. You want to be productive. You have to have a process, like a consensus that you and the other people that are involved in the task will be efficient to solve the problem.
Yeah, but Igor, sorry that I interrupt you.
No problem. But
I think as a boss or you have to handle the persons how they like it. That's my opinion. If you don't do that, I think the result, what you are getting, is not as good as possible, because there are people who want to, yeah, just want a short message. And also it's the same to me when somebody's calling me and is telling me, oh, I don't have so much time, can you please send me blah blah blah, not a problem for me. Well, but when he's always calling me like that, then I'm not agreeing with this behavior, because then I would think, but I don't know if you are doing it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I would think, okay, this person is not really interested about me and my life. For example, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you are working with your employees like that, but just to make it black and white, you know? And
yeah,
this is a difference. And there are also another example in my private life, when my sister is sending me an audio message, if I see this on my phone, I just think, oh my God, I don't want to listen to this audio message. Because for example, just an example, when my sister is sending me such a message, she's just telling the same 3 or 4 times.
Yes.
So in this case, I like short messages, text messages, because I don't want to waste time. It is much more easier. This is what I'm thinking, just putting a direct information in a text message, for example. So yeah, this is something I like. Yeah? I like short emails with not too much information in it. Clearly, this is something how I like working, but it depends on the situation, I think.
I'll come down to the culture of the company. So it has to be clear that people value this, and you will be more efficient and you will be welcomed if you use that. But if you don't use, you won't be punished. So the culture you go building itself, people who don't adapt, they will naturally adapt himself or herself, because it's natural for human beings. We always, and I think like now it's a more like abstract opinion. When people start to see it's more efficient, people start to like it. But I agree with you, especially like as a sales guy, you know better than me that when you are dealing with someone that you don't know, you have to like to create rapport, like trying to understand how they understand what you say. I will give you a very good example. So like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I was crazier than I am today. And I had on my WhatsApp status, like I don't listen to audio. Like I had this on my WhatsApp. I'm not proud of that, but I had this, like this warning, you know.
What was the status?
I don't send the audio because I won't listen. Like audio. Okay. I'm not proud of that, but it was like that. Then I started to study and being a more like adult person and that understanding that people don't have to adapt to me. Sometimes I have to adapt to the world. And like, I took down this rule. So, okay, send the audio. Right, let's see what happened. And something I discovered, which was very good to me as a human being, like that some people, they can't express themselves writing. So if they send a message, like a voice message, for them, they will feel more comfortable. They will be clear what they want, and it will be good for everyone. I will lose 1 minute, 2 minutes. So it's just an example to illustrate how important it is to understand the other person as well. And about what Frank said, and I will ask another question to everyone. But before that, I have a theory. Like, it's my theory. It's not popular because I didn't die. There's a philosopher in Brazil who says that. it's a good theory. It's not popular yet because I'm still alive.
Okay.
Which is the most people feel unsafe in an environment, like as socially unsafe, like they feel they will be punished if they say something wrong, or if they feel like they won't be promoted if they are not friend of the boss. Like the most they feel unsafe in environment, the more politics you have in the company. That's my theory. Like, so when you are in an environment and when everyone is like extremely polite, like I'm saying like extremely polite, that people are scared to smile, like they don't make jokes because they think it's inappropriate. They say a lot of things before saying what they want. I feel like they are scared of something, some punishment. So I just want to share my theory. now I have a question to everyone.
So you think then the people are not authentic, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think my theory is like people they are not authentic because they are scared of being punished for being authentic, you know. That's something I observe sometimes.
So they're playing a role.
Yes. Yes. They are like, we, in Portuguese, we have expressions like they are stepping on eggs. I don't know if it's, there is this English expression, like you are stepping, scared of breaking something. So I would like to know, I will start with Julia this time. What most annoys you in a work environment when it comes down to communication? What's more annoys you, most annoys you?
Tough question, because it's been a while since I've been in a working environment, but I think it's people don't talk about the subject, but
they sort of digress. They want to talk about everything else except the subject, yeah?
Yes, or the arguments and about the subject, but politically motivated.
Okay, so there's a smoke screen in front of the real mess. Someone has an agenda and it's hidden behind a smoke screen. It's not transparent. Is that what you're trying to say? It's not clear what the person is trying to say.
Ismar, what most annoy you?
For example, people that don't respect one another, and for example, there are some bosses that think they have to be respected, but they are unrespectful to their assistants. And I think it's not correct, in my opinion.
Cool. Sebastian.
What I don't like is when you have a meeting, just in business in this case, but when you're sitting around with some people and somebody is presenting something and everybody's listening, and after the presentation or a meeting, the guy's telling you that is not possible, blah, blah, blah. Why do they don't tell the group at the right time that it's not possible? And this is something, I'm just the opposite of it. When somebody, I don't care who's standing in front of me, is presenting me something, a strategy, sales strategy, or how to sell a new product. When I see a problem or an issue, I'm just talking and just put it into the conversation. And sometimes we have hard conversations and not really nice conversations, but at the end, it is really important for me that my boss or my boss knows who's the problem and what can we do and how can we find a solution to get the product better into the market and so on. And it's not really comfortable this way, but at the end, I think if you don't just talking, and you have so many meetings, and when this guy is open his mouth, at that point he's just talking bullshit. And this is something I had in the past with many other guys and salespeople, and I'm always thinking, why isn't he honest? Just talk about it and just put it out, and let's find a solution maybe, or this is something I don't like.
But it makes sense. It's like I think you mean like people fear conflict because they think conflicts are bad, but not necessarily. Like, it's something like that you are saying. Like, people fear to disagree because they think it's bad, but sometimes you have to disagree to have to end up in a better solution, right?
Yeah, and something I mentioned over the last 20 years, and I had, I don't know, 3 or 4 different bosses. Most of the people are thinking if they are really suitable and really nice, and avoid such communications or such discussions, they are the lovely guy. But this isn't the case, And this is something I've learned. Most of the time, I was the guy that many of my bosses had hard discussions about different topics. But at the end, I don't have the feeling that I'm not...
That you're not appreciated, that you're not noticed. Yeah. You're taken for granted. Yeah.
Interesting.
How do you like employees in the past? Do you want to hear the truth, right? Because this was developing your company, I think. So
yes, I can say with a lot of confidence, like with this behavior of like usually like the bosses who doesn't like conflict, like I can say with a lot of confidence, or there are two options. First one, the company will always be small. Like the company will never grow because he or she won't be able to create new leaders because he wants to be, or she wants to be always right. Or like the boss, he's not the owner of the company. He's like a director or management position, and he or she, how I can say that without being.
They
want to be very protective from their role in the company. Like in my experience, when you work with like bosses who want to grow the company and they understand it, like they welcome conflict. And I can say like through my experience being the boss and talking with a lot of other bosses, feels very weird when you are in a meeting, you are discussing a very delicate subject, let's say a new product or changing the strategy, and no one say anything. It's very weird. You feel like something's wrong, like no one is disagreeing with me, something is very wrong. So I agree. I think conflict is a very good thing, like when you want to grow your company.
Yeah, so it's good to have a little bit of friction. Right.
Yes, I would say it's like necessary. I can't imagine some company growing without conflict, because you have a lot of smart people taking decisions. It's very utopic think that everyone will have the same opinion. People always have different opinion. It's part of the game. I think it's very welcoming.
Yes, ma.
I'd like to say two things. Some months ago, I wrote a text. Which title is Soul Readers. And I think in some place of Brida, you can find my text if you want to read. How to read a soul, but of course is a metaphor, but as we, not all of them are people readers, I think when we have a process, how to communicate in a common way to communicate with everyone, I think it's good, it's necessary. But if you are a very smart person and you can read how some specific person behaves, you can treat and communicate with them in a different way. And of course, it could be effective.
So I just conclude saying like I agree with smart. So like from the management perspective, like you have to try to not rely on like individual characteristics. How can I put it better? So let's say you are a good soul reader, Ismar. Let's say like Ismar is a very good soul reader. He works for me. He is perfect, but from the management perspective, how can I scale that? I cannot guarantee that everyone will have the same ability. That's why we create process, not only in communications, but everything. So let's say Sebastian is a very good salesman. He is always like achieving the goals of the company, but he's one person. How I can guarantee that other people will be as good as Sebastian? And that's why we create process. So I like in a very realistic example, I have done that hundreds of times. When we had a good salesman on our team, we would talk to them and they ask, oh, what are you doing different? What are your personal processes? How do you organize yourself? Which sales pitch are you using? And we would replicate to everyone. So like from the perspective of the company, you cannot rely on, you cannot think that everyone will be good at something. You have to replicate through processes. And I would like to thank you, everyone.
I don't think you really mentioned this today, and I'm a bit surprised. But I think this discussion that we had will continue rumbling on in the next few months. What Igor finds very important is feedback. And I do that too. And feedback doesn't mean, am I doing something right? Am I doing something well? Feedback means also continuing the discussion until it reaches a natural end, or possibly opening a new avenue. Part of this whole process is to provide feedback to Igor. The feedback that I'm going to give you is that I sort of have eaten the first course of a three-course menu and I'm still hungry. So I would like to have a main course and I would like to have a dessert at some point down the road. It was extremely interesting. I felt challenged because one side of me, the European side, where we are used to dealing with different cultures on a day-to-day basis, says, well, hang on, this is not right. And then the human side, do we have to make a process out of every possible thing? And yet when I look at our series of WhatsApps that we have been sending to each other, you actually live what you are talking, and I'm not offended. I don't feel, subhuman or anything like that. So it's an interesting topic. So from my side, thank you for doing this. And I'll now throw it over to, I think we'll start with Sebastian, because you really came alive this evening, Sebastian. What happened?
Yeah, I think I didn't know Igor really good at that time or in this moment. I think the behavior is really similar to my kind of communication. So I think I like short, direct communication. I agree to communicate in such a manner. But I think it's a question how it depends on how a person liked to get handled. If I was younger, now I'm 41.
You're still a spring chicken.
So 10 years ago or so, I don't know, I was much more straighter. And there are situations that I had to feel that this is not the right way to communicate like this with this person. And yeah, it should fit to also another person. And this is, I think, the secret how to handle persons and to get something. And this is always the same in life. You want something from a person in different situations. At the end, the question is, how can you get it? But it's not only this way or that way. And I don't mean that it's just a bad thing if you want something from another person, but this is how we are working, and it is the same in business and the same in your private life. What is it? Manipulating persons? If you want to express it negative, I'm not able to express it positive. That's the game, but you should feel comfortable with the situation, and this is the app to find out how to handle situations, problems.
As Igor said, he loves a diverse environment with different opinions. But it's very interesting to hear that, but in a real world, it's not what we face to every day. Because my experience is almost every place I worked, people, my bosses didn't like to receive feedback or different opinion. And even in the university, because the university means something that could enlarge everything that it's virality, but in a practical way, it doesn't what happen. At least in Brazil, for example, if you say that you are right-wing supporter, you have problem. And when you put some different point of view to some professors, they get angry or uncontrolled, and I have a bad experience with that. Even one asked me if I was testing him, which was terrible. And that's the real life, yeah.
Again, you, Ismail, without knowing it, you have opened a whole can of worms, because I think half the problem that we face today is also we have a huge intolerance of other ideas and other opinions and other ways of doing things. It starts in politics, where I suppose you have the polarization, which I suppose is normal, because you have ideologies fighting to do something. Whether that's good in the 21st century is another discussion. But when it permeates its way down to a family level, and when I read in one of the Brazilian newspapers before the election that almost 50% of Brazilians were not comfortable talking politics with friends and family, then that is problematic. Yeah, if you can't even trust your own family to talk about politics, where do we go from there? So.
And what is going on in the States? Huh?
And what is happening in the United States? And you look at that and you come to Europe, and we have the problem in the United Kingdom. We have it in Italy. We have it here in France, albeit not as extreme. But it's happening everywhere. And I think that's also something that we need to look into. So well done, Ismail. You opened yet another can of worms. We leave you, Julia, with the closing words of our meeting. You have the final word, Julia.
I think I have nothing more to say than thank you, Igor. I think it was a very interesting talk.
Short and simple.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Igor, well done.
Thank you.